Take your Bibles, John chapter 21. Hopefully we'll be able to finish up tonight. I've had several people ask me, what are we going to study next? And it will be one of the e-books. It'll either be Exodus, Ezra, or Ecclesiastes. So pray that the Lord will leave me to which one of those three he wants. Those are the three he's laid on my heart. I had a little, let's see if I can find it. Yeah, we as a church have studied, when we finish John tonight, we will have studied 50 of the books of the Bible together. We've studied all of the New Testament except for Matthew, and we have 15 more books in the Old Testament that we need to study. As I said, when we started John, we've been in John about a year and a half. I said, it would be wonderful if we as pastor and people could make it through all 66. But we've saved some of the hard, long ones till the end, and so I don't know if we'll make it or not. But you remember last week, seven of the disciples had gone fishing. They'd fished all night. They'd caught nothing. Early in the morning, there was a man that stood on the shore. He called out to him, "Have you any meat? Have you caught any fish?" And the disciples replied, "No, we haven't." The man on the shore cried out again, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." The disciples did it, and they caught so many fish they couldn't draw it up. The net was so heavy they couldn't draw it up. The disciple who Jesus loved, John, the author of this gospel, recalled an earlier experience where something very similar had happened early on in Jesus' ministry when he'd first called James and John and Peter and Andrew. And he said to Peter, "Peter, that's the Lord. That's Jesus." Peter didn't wait. He jumped in the water, put his coat on, jumped in the water, swam, or waded to shore. And the other disciples came, and they drug the full net to the shore. When they got to shore, they saw Jesus. They knew it was Jesus. They saw that he had a fire started. He had a fish on the fire and some bread. And he said, "Well, bring some of the fish you have caught, and let's have breakfast." Peter went to get them. There was 153 of them. And he brought some of them back, and they put it on the fire, and they cooked it and had breakfast together. John tells us this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to the group of disciples. The two previous times were in the room on Sunday nights. So we start in verse 15 tonight. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. So after they had eaten, as they had done many times in the past, they sat around and talked. And as they talked, Jesus turned to Peter and said, Simon." He didn't call him Peter. Peter was a name that Jesus had given Simon. It means stone or rock. And he said, "Do you love me more than these?" A lot of speculation on what "these" meant. Some people think it meant the boat and the fishing gear. These are the people that think when Peter earlier in the chapter said, "I'm going fishing," was rejecting his call from Christ and was going back to his old way of life. I don't think that was true. I think Peter had forsaken that way of life a long time ago, 3 years earlier, and he wasn't going to go back. I think "these" refers to the other disciples. I think as Jesus looked at Peter, he said, Peter, and he maybe held out his hands to take in the other disciples that were there. There were seven of them that had gone fishing, so the other six. "Do you love me more than these do?" And again, notice that he called him Simon, not Peter, because Peter, at least for the past few days, hadn't been acting like a rock. He'd been acting more like mud. I mean, he was shifting and all that other stuff. On the night before the crucifixion, you remember in the upper room, Jesus had told the disciples, "All of you will be offended," in other words, "because to stumble because of me this night." And in characteristic fashion, Peter stood up and said, "Maybe all these guys are going to be offended, Lord, but not me. They all may forsake you, they all may leave you, but I will never, ever depart from you." And so he claimed that night that he loved Jesus more than all the rest of them. He claimed he would be more loyal to Jesus than all the rest of them. And the next few hours after he made that declaration, Peter would not only stumble, he would fall flat on his face as he denied his master three different times as he stood around Pilate's hall. So now, early in the morning, just after breakfast, Jesus was probing his heart. In the light of all that had happened, again, you boasted about how you had a superior love and loyalty for me. Do you still say, Simon, do you still say that you love me more than the rest of all these apostles? And since Peter claimed that great love, Jesus used the word for love, agape, Christ-like or God-like kind of love, unconditional love, sacrificial love. Do you love me with that kind of love more than these other men do? I think Peter was like a little kid that didn't want to talk about something. He was very humbled and subdued, and he said simply, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He didn't claim to love him more than the other disciples that were there, and he didn't use the same word for love that Jesus did. Jesus had used the word agape, God-like kind of love. Peter used the word phileo, a friendship kind of love. And when Peter said that, Jesus said, "Well, I want you to feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Lambs, young sheep. And the word for feed is baski, which means to simply feed. Simply feed. In this case, spiritual food. Feed spiritual food to young Christians, to my young lambs. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So again, a second time Jesus asked Peter, using the same word for love, agape, do you love me? He didn't ask if you love me more than these. He just said, do you love me? Do you love me with this God-like kind of love? Peter said the same thing that he did before. And again, he used the phileo word for love, a friendship kind of love. And Jesus said, now, again, feed my, not my lambs, but feed my sheep, the young and the old. And the word for feed is more than the word that he used in the verse earlier. It includes all the duties of a shepherd. It includes feeding, guarding, and guiding. And so Jesus said, well, if you love me, then I want you to take care of my sheep. I want you to take care of Christians. I want you to be a shepherd to them. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, why was Peter grieved? Some people think it was because Jesus asked the question three times. Same number of times that Peter had denied Christ that night of before the crucifixion. And again, the two are connected. I mean, I think Jesus asked him three times on purpose. I think Peter realized that, you know, there was a question of his love for every time that he denied Christ. But I think he was grieved for another reason. This third time when Jesus said, do you love me? He didn't use the agape word for love. He used the phileo word for love. When Peter wouldn't come up to the level that Jesus was at, Jesus came down to the level that Peter was at, a phileo kind of love. And again, not the same word that Jesus asked the first two times, but the same word that Peter responded with the first two times. And I think that cut Peter to the heart to realize, you know, just a few days earlier, he had sat in the upper room with Jesus and said, hey, all these others may forsake you, but I'm going to love you, and if it need be, I'll love you enough that I'll die for you. And now, in answer to Jesus' questions, Peter could not say that he loved Jesus with a God-like kind of love. I think John, again, I know it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I think John put this story in here so that those that read this book would know that Peter was not only forgiven, but he was commissioned. That Jesus wasn't done with him yet. That Jesus still had a job for him to do. And when Peter said, "Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. You know my heart. And you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Okay, again, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to be a shepherd to my sheep. Even though you've fallen, and even though you denied me, even though you cursed as you did that, I still love you. I still want you to be one of my disciples. I still want you to preach the gospel. I still want you to tell people about me. So Peter, you might not think you're qualified anymore, but I do. I do. So feed my sheep." Then in verse 18, Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Some people read this and say Jesus was talking about Peter getting old. When he was young, he could dress himself and get wherever he needed to go. But when he gets old, somebody's going to have to help him dress and take him wherever he goes. But that's not exactly what Jesus was talking about. And we'll see that in verse 19. What Jesus was talking about was how Peter was going to die. He was going to die for the gospel. He was going to die for Christ. Verse 19, "This spake he," Jesus, "signifying by what death he should glorify God." John often used the word glorify when he talked about Jesus' death on the cross. How it glorified God. How it fulfilled the plan that God had from before the creation of the world to redeem a people for himself. And Jesus glorified God when he went to Calvary's cross. Jesus was telling Peter, "Hey, when you get old, somebody's going to gird you, arrest you, and they're going to take you to a place that you don't want to go. They're going to take you to a cross, and you're going to die. And in your death, you're going to glorify me." Now, it doesn't tell us in the Bible, but tradition and some of the Jewish historians tell us that Peter was crucified. And at his request, he asked his executioners, "I'm not worthy to die the same way as my Savior died. So he said, I want you to crucify me upside down." And tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down. That he died, that he finally came to that point in his life that he did love Jesus with an agape kind of love. And he died for him. And he taught those people that were under his teaching and under his preaching to love Jesus with that same kind of love. This spake he, again, verse 19, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him," Jesus saith unto Peter, "follow me." Now we read that verse and think, well, Jesus was just telling Peter, "I want you to follow me the rest of your life. I want you to be a disciple." Remember when he called Peter, he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." But if you look at the next verse, what I think was happening, Jesus had walked away from the group and he said, "Peter, I want you to follow me." And as Peter began to follow him, John began to follow Peter. Look at verse 20. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And we know that that was the apostle John that leaned on Jesus' breast and asked the question. When Jesus said, "One of you sitting at this table is going to betray me," John asked the question to Jesus, "Well, which one of us is it?" And you remember Jesus says, "The one I dip the bread in the sop and give it to." It was a way of giving honor to one of the guests at the table. And Jesus did that and gave it to Judas. So this was John. So Jesus had walked away from the group. He said, "Peter, follow me." And when Peter was following him, he looked around and saw that John was following them also. Verse 21, "Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus had just talked to Peter about his death, that he was going to be taken to a place that he did not want to go, and his death was going to glorify God. And so Peter said, well, what about John? What about this man? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What Jesus was saying when Peter said, well, what about John? Jesus was saying, in a kind way, Peter, it's really none of your business. If I want him to live till I come again, what business is it of you, of yours? You just need to figure out what I want you to do and get busy doing that. Don't worry about what my will is for somebody else. Find out what my will is for your life and follow that. Now, a lot of people, in fact, it says it in the next verse, then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And what Jesus said to Peter is what I think he'd say to each of us. Too many times we worry more about the will of God for somebody else than we worry about the will of God for ourselves. And we ought to pray for other people. We ought to pray that other people find the will of God in their life. But we ought to be more concerned about what God wants us to do than he wants somebody else to do. Sometimes we're too critical of other people. We say, well, that must not be, surely that's not God's will for their life. Surely they're not doing what God wants them to do. And again, we need to be more concerned, are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we following God's will for our life? And so I think Jesus would say to us, just as kindly as he said to Peter, it ain't none of your business. Just figure out what my will is for you and get busy doing that. Verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. John's talking about himself, and he says, what I've written is true because I was there, I saw it, I heard it, I witnessed it, I was an eyewitness, and what I've written is true. And then verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So John ends chapter 21 like he did verse 20. He said in verse 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. There were many things that Jesus did while he was here that are not recorded in the book of John, not recorded in the other gospels. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll have all eternity. Maybe when we get to heaven, Jesus will set us down and say, let me tell you some of the other things I did when I walked the face of the earth. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But as John said at the end of chapter 20, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. These are written down so that we have the record. And there's enough written here that if we use the faith that God has given to every man, we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And believing on him, we can have life through his name. I hope you have that life tonight. I hope each one here knows what it is to have that life in Christ. As I look around, I think everybody does. But if by chance you don't, you come see me after the service. I'll show you how to have that life by putting your faith in Christ. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand. Men will be praying back in the library. Ladies will be over here and over here. I ask you to join us as we pray.